171. 'Tis the grandest theme through the ages rung, 'tis the grandest theme for a mortal tongue, 'tis the grandest theme that the world e'er sung. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to God for rest. Oh, God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest thing in the earth for man, 'tis the grandest thing for a mortal strength, 'tis the grandest thing, tell the world again, our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though by sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. 'Tis the grandest thing, let the tidings flow to the guilty heart, to the sinful soul. Look to God in faith, he will make thee whole. Our God is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. He is able to deliver thee. Though my sin oppressed, go to him for rest. Our God is able to deliver thee. Amen. Amen. Number 169. Turn back a page. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still, have thine own way. Search me and try me, Master, today. Whiter than snow, Lord, wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. O Lord, my being, absolute sway, filled with thy spirit, till all shall say, Christ only always living in me. Brother Gene, would you now lead us in a word of prayer, please?
My precious loving Heavenly Father, once again we come to you, thanking you for the many blessings of this life. We pray that you will be with us and bless us and keep us safe and out of harm's way to be that way. And we thank you so very much for the love that you have for us and sending your only Son into this world to die on that cruel cross of hell, that we might have a hope of being with you someday in heaven. We pray for those who are mentioned here this day, that you bless them and keep them safe and out of harm's way also. We pray for this nation that you will give us the know-how and the ability to overcome this tranquility that we are in at this time. That you will look after us and keep us safe and out of harm's way, that this nation will become stronger each day of our life. We pray that you will go with us and be with us throughout our lives. We this life is over, that you're here at home with you in heaven, to be there with you. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Number 52 before our Lord's Supper this morning. Number 52.
By Christ redeemed, in Christ restored, we keep the supper of the Word, and so the death of our dear Lord until He come. His body given in our stead is slain in this memorial bread, and as we drink we see the blood until He come. And thus that dark betrayal with the last advent we unite by one bright chain of love being right until He come.
Matthew 26, verse 23, we'll start 22. And they were exceeding sorrowful, and began every one of them to say unto Him, Lord, is it I? And He answered and said, He that dippeth his hand with me in this dish, the same shall betray me. The Son of Man goeth as it is written of Him, but woe unto the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born. Then Judas, which betrayed Him, answered and said, Master, is it I? And He said unto him, Thou hast said. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed it, and brake it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, Take, eat. This is My body. And He took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it, for this is My blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in My Father's kingdom. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful to Your Son for coming into this world, teaching us the things that You would have us to know, and to die on that cross for our sins. As we gather around this table to partake of this loaf, Father, we pray that our minds will go back to the cross and see His body that hung there for us. May we partake of it in a manner be pleasing to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Heavenly Father, we continue our thanks for this cup, the fruit of vine, which represents the blood that was shed upon that cross. Again, Father, help us to partake of this in a manner be pleasing to thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord's Supper is now ended. We have now have an opportunity to give back for the work here at this congregation. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the material things that we have in this life, for the blessings that we enjoy that come from you. And Father, this time we have an opportunity to give back to you for the work here at this place. Help us, Father, to do it with a cheerful heart. Help us, Father, to use these means to glorify your name. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please turn with me now to 229, as our song before the sermon today. 229. You would mark, tell you what to mark in our book, 546, My God and I, 546, will be our song of invitation after the lesson today, but we'll be up. 546. Then go back with me to 229. Let's stand together as we sing this song together. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. In my distress, He kindly will help me. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. I must tell Jesus all of my troubles. He is a kind, compassionate friend. If I but ask Him, He will deliver, make of my troubles quickly an end. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Oh, how the world to evil allures me. Oh, how my heart is tempted to sin. I must tell Jesus, and He will help me. Over the world, the victory to win. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, I cannot bear my burdens alone. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. Thank you all for being here. Be seated, please. And we have a guest speaker today who's here home all the time, and Bill Cobb.
Not too much of a guest, I hope. We're going to try to have this out of the way as far as that strain will get me. Today is it's not a real short lesson. I can make it as short as I need to probably and just might do that. We'll see.
That's wise.
Our lesson starts off today. For the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several or his own personal ability or his own personal might or strength, and straightway took his journey. The man goes on his journey, leaving his servants in charge of his wealth, ability. And that's what I want us to talk about today. The word for ability in the Greek is dunamis. Dunamis comes from the root word dunamai, or dunamai. And the root word means force. Specifically, miraculous power, usually by implication, a miracle itself. But dunamis means ability, abundance, meaning or means, mighty, mightily, mighty deed. It means miracle or worker of a miracle or miracles. Ability means power, strength, violence, might, wonderful in work. That's something that every one of us has in us, is an ability. Webster says ability is the quality or state of being able. Competence in doing something, or our skill. Natural aptitude. There are some things that come very easy to us that we can accomplish. Others are an acquired proficiency. We learn it, and we do it to learn it. We know the five talent servant invested the wealth and gained five more. We know the two talent man did the same and earned two more talents. The one talent man did nothing but protect the one talent given in his charge. Matthew 25:19, after a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth, takes account with them. We know the five talent servant gained five more talents and was rewarded. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. The two talent servant that gained two more talents, fewer than the five talent man, and I'm not questioning your ability to figure this out, but it's to make a point. And was asked to give his account of his talents. He reported he had gained two more. The master then replied, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Note that the five talent servant and the two talent servant were awarded the very same award. The one talent man who was afraid to display his ability and invest had to give his account. The only account was an excuse. Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. The one talent servant blamed who? His master. I was scared. I was afraid. You gave me too much to be responsible for. What is our talent or our ability? Can we preach, teach, prepare the Lord's Supper, wait on the table, lead, sing, and pray, sing, attend services, invite our neighbors, give to the poor, and on and on and on? What is our ability? Did God give us the ability to do something and we are keeping it to ourselves? This is a self-examination. Have we buried our talent? Is my talent waiting for someone to encourage me? Let us show our talents by doing the work that we can do. Guess what? For unto everyone that hath shall be given. We don't read that and really believe it sometimes. And he shall have abundance for him, but for him from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The one talent servant not only loses his ability that's given to him, but lost his salvation. The church needs you and your ability. You cannot say your without saying our. Here and now, the church needs everyone's ability. And I know this, I have to answer for myself, and believe me, I do. If you don't see a need, ask yourself, how many meetings have I attended in the past years? How many have I invited to come to it? How many Sundays have passed in my life and I did not attend? How proud am I of the benevolence and missionary work and how I contributed to it? These things should be automatically and prayerfully done by all of us. The least we should say is, I am part of the church work. None of us own the work of the church and any participation, it is welcome. How are our abilities developed? In our physical life, schooling provides us with a variety of subjects to open our minds and help us to choose a profession. There are subjects that guide us toward this, such as math, and I put the capital E in English because it's getting tougher and tougher to understand anything except computer language or another language here in the United States, English, writing, and etc. There are subjects that teach us how we arrive at our governmental state, such as history, which is the study of past events in a particular country, and also world history. There is civics, which is the study of the rights and obligations of citizens in societies. These last two, good luck if you have these in schools these days. But there is talk about getting these reestablished, and that is certainly encouraging. In religion, we have the same type of information for our spiritual lives, to train our inner man or our spirit. The Old Testament is our history, teaching us where we came from physically and spiritually, and the New Testament, our civics, teaching us the rights and obligations of citizenship in Christ's kingdom. What is our ability? Let's go to the history book of the Old Testament and we'll look at one example. There was a leader of the land of Egypt who feared that the Israelites would become so numerous that they would one day collaborate with their enemy and overtake their land. And so entertaining this idea, he commanded in Exodus 1:22. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, "Every son that is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive." One male escaped this charge, and we know him to be Moses. The account of Moses goes forward as he becomes older, sees an Egyptian beating an Israelite, and slays the Egyptian. Two Hebrews saw this and confronted Moses for this wrong and say to him, "Wherefore smitest thou thy fellow?" And one of the Hebrews said unto Moses, "Who made thee a prince and a judge over us? Intendest thou to kill me as thou killest the Egyptian?" And Moses feared and said, "Surely this thing is known." Remember what this Hebrew said to Moses. "Who made thee a prince and a judge of us all?" It's kind of a prophecy. Moses flees, not being afraid of Pharaoh, according to Hebrews 11:27, to Midian and becomes a shepherd of Jethro, the priest of Midian. One day Moses was tending the flock near Mount Horeb, described as the mountain of God. There Jehovah will reveal himself to Moses through what we know as the burning bush. Exodus 3:9. Jehovah says, "Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is coming to me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." What a bond. We will find out the talents and the ability of Moses. And Moses said unto God, "Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Who am I? You know what? In my prayers to God, there are times that I need to stop and ask God, "Who am I? Who am I to you?" And that's what he's saying. Who am I? In your esteem, as your estimation, who am I that I should go into Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? Exodus 4:1, and Moses answered and said, "But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee." God gave Moses signs for him to believe. Moses had a rod in his hand, and God said, "Throw it down on the ground." And he did. It became a serpent. And he said, "Pick it up by the tail." And he did. And it became a staff again. His hand, which became leprous, remember that? Come, put it in your bosom. Now pull it out. And it became leprous. And he said, "Put it back in. Take it out again." And it was whole. What kind of impression should Moses have gotten out of that? And Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." And the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth? Who maketh the dumb or the deaf? Are seeing or the blind, have not I the Lord?" Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, "O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send." God picks Moses, brother, Aaron, as spokesman. Moses, the great lawgiver, leads the children up to the promised land, and after 40 years of wandering, crossing the Red Sea, only to forfeit his going in because he disobeyed one of God's commandments. Remember the Hebrew that asked the question, "Who has made you the prince over us?" Who? Who did it? Moses became their leader. And it was only by what? The hand of God. Where can I get my spiritual ability? Am I born with it? Paul tells the elders of Ephesus, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified, purified, and set apart." What is able to do it? The word of God's grace. The New Testament. The Old Testament, in fact, helps us to understand even what the New Testament is. Like private school, I have to learn to develop my spiritual ability. The word of God is able to build me up. But like medicine, if I don't use it, what's it worth? Paul tells the Corinthians, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according to his purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." If I was given a sermon on giving, that would be probably the main verse. Does this pertain only to giving of our means or to anything that we propose to do? I ask you. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. You know, I purpose to do a lot of things. Visit the sick. Help the poor. I purpose that. I need to do it. But then I'll do it. What does he say? As he purposes in his heart, so let him give. I need to do it. I'm not only letting myself down, I'm letting God down, because I'm saying that, "Lord, I need to do this." I don't have time. I don't have this. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Sometimes we think about grace as only with salvation. We think about the grace of God sending us His Son into the world, loving us, and giving us salvation. And we really don't think about the things that we need to do around us. But God here says He to make all grace. What is grace? God's love? God's ability to provide us with everything that we need? You know, I've got a lot of junk in my life. It will be. It'll be thrown away. But to me, it's a lot of need. And I was going to use all of these things. I've got some things I haven't even touched. But they've been provided. What about my income? You know, I have a saying, God giveth and the government taketh away. And I believe that's as true as the day is long. Who was it? Someone said, you know what? I have never seen a Christian starve to death. I've never seen it. Why? Is it because God provides? You have seen your neighbors. You have seen your fellow Christians hurting. And you gave and helped them. How else is God going to provide except through us? We are God's helping hands here. And He says that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to what? In every good work. Not to my work. He didn't say, hey, look, you got something going over here that's yours. You claim it. He didn't say, I'm going to give you some help on that. It's his work. James says, wherefore lay aside apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls, or our souls. What is he saying? This word receive here, there's two words, for Greek words for receive in the New Testament. This word means we accept it. The other word is like something comes with the job. You get it automatically. God will provide it. You don't have any say-so about it. If you looked at Acts 2:38, you'll see the gift of the Holy Spirit. You don't accept the Holy Spirit. Galatians 4:6. Because you're a son, God sent forth the Holy Spirit into your heart. We have to be sons. We have to become sons. And we get it from God. That's the other receive. The engrafted word. Back in the good old days, Papa Kauf over here and probably some of the others would graft off of a fruit tree and take it over there and graft it on another fruit tree. So what is he doing? He's doing the same thing as what we do right here. The engrafted word. We take these words and we graft them in to our hearts, our minds. Meekness with the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls. Then he says in James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. We can fill this up here so full of Bible that it's running out of our ears and not do anything with it. And what do we have? We're deceiving ourselves. We think we're great. I have another saying. It's not what I think of God. It's what God thinks of me. I can think all good things and all the things in the world, but what does God think of me? Then I've got to know what He says. And I've got to do what He says. Then I know what God thinks of me. But a conjunction used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting with what has already been mentioned. English lesson here. You can see the but here. We can see here where the word is able to save our souls. But we can see the contrast right here in this sentence. Be ye doers of the word. We can see that. And is a coordinating conjunction, a conjunction placed between words, phrases, clauses, or sentences of equal rank, so as for, nor, but, or, yet, and so. You need to know what a coordinating conjunction is. In this case, this sentence right here, this verse, is as important as this verse. Because it is connected with a coordinating conjunction. So us in granting the word is very important. Being doers of the word is just as important. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole world in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might, that is ability, with strength, by His Spirit in the inner man. Do we attain to the inner man like we ought to? Do I think of my inner man as he's 6'1", used to be 2 because he's shrunk? What is my inner man? It's my spirit. The thing that's going to go back to God when I'm dead. And it is the inner man that drives the inner outer man to do what is right. If we had no inner man, if we had no God, what kind of a world would this be with just our fleshly bodies and wants and needs? That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Strengthened with might by a spirit in a man. Being rooted and grounded in love. That we may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. We have the full box. We have the whole thing. God has given us the whole thing so that we can understand with all the saints what the whole thing is about. And to know the love of Christ with passing knowledge that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. If we take the box and we don't fill it with the fullness of God, what have we got? An empty box. Jesus says to the 12 apostles, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, we have pretty much that promise today. We don't get it in the same way. The Holy Spirit has written us a letter through the apostles. And to us. So the Comforter has come to us via mail. He will teach you all things. Well, guess what? We've got to study to show ourselves approved. the way that we have to get it is not going to be by inspiration, except we're going to have to be inspired to read this book. He will teach you all things. That's all the things that we need to know are right here. He'll bring it to our remembrance only if we do what? Learn it. Whatsoever I have said to you, the things that we need to get to heaven is there. And if we don't put it up here, we don't have anything. And if we get up here, don't we need to try to do it? Paul continues to the Ephesians, now to him God that is able to exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power, the dunamis, the ability, the abundance, the means that works in us. And he says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. As the 5 2-time men found out, God can do more abundantly in us because of our unfound ability from God. His power is unimaginable. And this is no miraculous thing in our lives. The 5 man became a 10 man plus one extra. The 2 man became a 4 man. The 1 man became lost. 1 Peter 4:8, and above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity covereth the multitude of sins. That word comes from the Greek word agape, the love of God. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. Hospitality, friendly and generous reception and entertainment of guests, visitors, or strangers. And Peter says that every man hath received a gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards, overseers of the manifold grace of God. What is the grace? Our God-given power, ability to do what he asks, the manifold many forms and parts of it, the many kinds of things that we can do and use our ability for. Use our abilities to help and encourage each other. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, if we do anything toward doing what God has asked us to do, guess what? We're ministering. We minister to people all the time that need help. Orphan homes. Things like that. Let him do it. Let God do it as of the ability which God giveth. Where do we get our abilities? That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom we be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. These abilities are to be used in God's name. Not what I've done. Look what I did. Luke 6:49. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation, built a house upon the earth, against whence the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. How can you apply this? Guess what? We're going to live our lives out here, and we're going to live in some kind of a house. After it's gone, it may turn into a termite mound like my dad's. Or it may stand, and we may have children to live in it. We may have all of these things done, but one day, it's going to be gone. The things that we've worked for really hard are going to be gone. I want to put something into your minds here. I lost my son. And I worked hard to provide for him in case I was gone. So what am I going to leave whatever I may have to? Are they going to take care of it as well as I do? Let me ask you to do something. And I already have. I have put this church in my will. When my dad died, I upped my contribution because I knew it'd be missed. There was one lady here that I don't know how much she gave, but I know she gave good. She died. And not my contribution. When this disease came along, I knew that the church was going to be hurting because we weren't going to have the attendance. Out my contribution. I'm not bragging, because I probably need to up it a whole lot more. That's God to judge. I'm not judging yours or mine.
Amen.
I'm just giving you an example.
Amen.
What would happen if I died tomorrow to all of my goods? It's got to be dispersed. But what if I left enough for the church to carry on until they can make up the difference of why I'm not here? Why can't we in our line die and leave something to the one that has provided us all our lives, to God? Just a thought. I've got to hurry up because I've run out of time. John 1:1, the elder to the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. The first thing I'd like for you to do is see that your body is doing well. That's what he says. And then he says, even as thy soul prospers. A good healthy body with a dead soul in it, or a sick soul in it, doesn't get us anywhere. Our health ought to be along with our soul, or the inner man, or our spirit. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil hath not seen God. And again, like the one talent man, let me ask you, what if we do nothing? Well, Revelation 20:12, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their what? Works. Paul says, we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Ephesians 2:10. We're created to do good works. God created us to do it. God has given us the ability to do that which is good. He has supplied us with everything that we need. Each one of us has a different ability, and it takes all of us to complete His work at this place. All of us. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. For what reason? For the perfecting of the saints. For the ministry, work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and to the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a full-grown man, and to a measure, a degree of the stature, maturity of the fullness of Christ. What is our ability here? Like a peach apple reaches full maturity, being, as we say, ripe, or we are to be ready for use. What is the end result of this? That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even in Christ, from whom the whole body, this whole body ought to fit together just exactly as it should, and be compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying and building up itself in love. It takes all of us. Not one or two. Not one or two doing everything. Be a part. Ability, a God-given quality which can enable ourselves to serve Him, and it sustains us These abilities are not limited but can be expanded as the parable of talents show. As our success is increased, so do our talents. We do the work, give God the credit. God gives the increase, whether in secular work or in our spiritual lives. I believe that. Mm-hmm. And we hid our God-given talents. There's actually about three more slides, but I don't want to keep our time. And this slide had to do with Deuteronomy 8:18. I'll do it. I'm going to do it. God to the Israelites. The Israelites have gone into the promised land. And they're doing well for themselves. And in Deuteronomy 8:14, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Already they're forgetting all about it. Who led thee through the great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water? Who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint? Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy life's end? Deuteronomy 17. And thou shalt say in thine heart, my power, my ability, my strength, and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. Look what I did. But God says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, ability that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto the fathers, and it is this day. Yes. Where do we get our ability? Where do we get our strength? And where do we get our wealth? And it shall be, if thou do all forget the Lord and God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I'll testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. What are the gods that we have? My estate, my car, my this, my bank account, my whatever. Do we worship it? Do we spend more time there? Are we apt to be there on the day that we need to be here? As the nations which the Lord destroyed before your face, so shall you perish, because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God.
Amen.
Yeah. Ability. The ability or the quality or state of being able. Are we able? Well, some of us, Richard, are not going to be able too much longer. We're getting more disabled than ever before. Competence in doing something, our skill, our natural aptitude, or acquired proficiency. God, who am I? If there's a need, please stand and let's sing this song.
My God and I go in the field together. We walk and talk as good friends should endure. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here. He tells me of the years that went before me, when heavenly plans were made for me to be, when all was but a dream of dim conception, to come to life redemption to come to life, first fruit and glory see. My God and I will go for a together. We'll walk and talk as good friends should endure. We clasp our hands, our voices ring with laughter. My God and I walk through the meadows here. This earth will pass, and with it common trifles, but God and I will go unendingly.
Robert, I've got one more thing to say about this sermon.
Right.
If you think that I didn't need this, you're wrong. This sermon was for me. And if it applies, then God bless you. But I'm not perfect in this world, and that sermon right there was just as hard on me as it should have been for anybody. It's in love, it's what God wants. Thank you.
When Brother Sparks trained me in preaching, he said, preach to the needs of everybody, and you'll never run out of sermons to preach. You'll never run out of articles to write. You'll never run out of bulletins to print. You always have material that is needed by the people that you meet and see. I never have a problem with it. All these years now, I've never had a problem with it. Brother Sparks told me the right thing about it. And this was a great lesson for me today and for everybody that ever hears it. God bless you all. Would you turn to one other verse of a song with me? Number 643. You know it well. Let's sing the first verse. When upon life's billows you are tempest tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God hath done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God hath done. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this service today, for the ability that we have been given, help us to always look into it and see that it is used. We pray in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
Hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock, as I will be here. Oh, really? And we'll carry on. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you, Brother Bill. Well done. Well done.
Well done.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.